This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today. Exactly. That's Virginia. Virginia is the 16th state, in fact, to legalize marijuana. Wow. First southern state to do that. There are 15 others, of course, that have passed an adult use marijuana legislation law, and they move this up to accommodate the summer months. Seriously, I'm not kidding. They legalized it 3 years ahead of schedule after the state General Assembly gave its final approval on Wednesday to a new timetable, making it, again, the first in the South to approve recreational use of cannabis. The Virginia governor, Ralph Northam, proposed last month moving it up after they had passed it in February, and now they have legalized recreational pot. But in doing that, in saying that they would have legalized it in 2024, this push, this acceleration, is partly because they were talking about these people being arrested for simple possession of marijuana and how crippling that was to the system. And the idea was it was ridiculous because there was should be focused on so many other things. So Virginians will be able to legally grow up to 4 cannabis plants with their households starting on July 1st. People who choose to grow the plants have to label them and keep them out of public view. It's probably more than you wanted to know. And away from anyone 21 years old or younger. State Senator Jeremy McPike said, I think providing a safe legal means for folks to produce while we set up the regulatory framework is important. Mic drop. Boom. Right at the start of this thing. Seriously. I think that it's interesting that they accelerated it and then are saying, okay, we're accelerating this. But it's kind of murky. We got to work out the framework. So this is it. I mean, you all just go and do what you have to do. But you can only grow up to 4 cannabis plants, and we'll trust that. Just go ahead with that. And you know, so there were others that said this is the wrong way to do this. You know, rushing this bill through and then having to make all these changes. But regardless, it is true. You can smoke pot and grow pot in Virginia now. My name is Kate Delaney, and the strongest thing I've got going on right now is accelerated caffeine because I had an extra cup of coffee. But that's it. Coming up on this show, some odds and ends. Claire Cinnamon will stop by. She's got quite a following with a trilogy she's written about a character, a strong woman who runs a farm. And that third installment of her book is pretty interesting, and farm life is pretty interesting. I think it's not what some people think it is, and some of the myths of farming, we actually talk about, Claire Cinnamon and I, so I know many of you in the Midwest would find that, and other places, pretty fascinating. Speaking of fascinating, it's interesting where we are right now in terms of COVID and the vaccines and how many people are getting the vaccines and why, with there supposedly so much availability, are some people struggling to find a place where they can get vaccinated, which I don't understand. It's different state to state, but 110 million have been vaccinated, at least one dose of the vaccine. Then it's questionable who is getting the second dose because some have been scared off from that. But 41.2% of the eligible population, 16 and older, have gotten it. That would cover 33.1% of the total population. We're seeing a rise in cases of COVID, the worst, with the worst variant, and younger people are getting that, and that's scary. And half of the new cases in the U.S. are just in five states, you know, again, with this deadliest strain, and that is New York, Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. They are the hot spots. They reported 44% of the new infections, or nearly 197,000 plus new cases. That's the latest of numbers available in a 7-day period, so you know where it's coming from. The data that's compiled by Johns Hopkins University, and the heavy concentration of new cases in states that account for, go figure, 22% of the U.S. population. So, getting additional vaccine doses to those places, there's a push to try to figure out how to do that. Meanwhile, just as a quick side note, the European Union's drug regulator says they found a possible link between the AstraZeneca coronavirus vaccine and a rare clotting disorder, but they say the benefits of the shots still outweigh the risks. Again, that's that caffeine talking. So if somebody had said to me, oh, don't worry, you know, this is what you got to think. What are people thinking? You know, the clotting, the blood clotting, those few cases you saw, it really, honestly, you'll probably be okay. And people are freaked about that. And I think that's, again, part of those that don't want to get vaccines. Some of it came out of that. And it's interesting. You know, you look at Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis, and they've confirmed he received the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And a lot of governors have been vaccinated publicly to reassure their constituents that the shots are safe. DeSantis didn't do that. He was inoculated away from the cameras. Also, with those that are hesitant to get the vaccine, many are Republican men, and some of them in that younger age demographic that are being affected by the UK variant. And, you know, you had President Trump, who said three different times, the shot's good, I got the shot. He said that at CPAC. He put it out there. He let people know that he got it, because there was a theory that, well, if Trump was your guy, then, yeah, you weren't going to get the vaccine. But that's not true, certainly from what has said to encourage the vaccine, because we have had it on this show. We've had him, the quote, and we've had him, the audio of him saying, get the shot. And speaking of the former president, he came out defended and embattled congressman who is a big supporter of his. And Trump says former President Trump said he never was asked for a blanket pardon from Congressman Matt Gaetz, the Republican from Florida, who is battling back accusations that he had a relationship with a 17-year-old girl, including potential violations of sex trafficking laws after accusations that he paid for women to travel with him. He's saying he's under investigation, but he's denying wrongdoing, contending the women he has dated are of legal age and any payments were also legal and made to cover travel for women he was dating. Stay tuned for more on that. And with that, we flip to some odds and ends here on the show.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly, right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Welcome to Nomo Cuomo, and I thought some of what he did was good when he was in office. I didn't agree with everything because, you know, I go by what some of the policies are, and boy, oh boy, has he really hit a tailspin in what's happened now with him. So here we are at the tail end of this hour for a little odds and ends. And Cuomo is the story. I mean, he is the distraction in New York. There's all kinds of allegations. The latest, an aide is saying he slammed the door shut before groping her. And that popped out in an interview in the Times Union of Albany. And there's even more details about other women, what they're accusing him of, sexual harassment, inappropriate behavior. So, and this woman spoke anonymously to protect her privacy, but I guess her identity is known within the governor's circle. So there you go. And she said, I remember him slamming the door so hard that I remember thinking to myself that I'm sure the staff is like, is everything okay up there? He came right back. He pulled me close. And all I remember is seeing his hand, his big hand. Wow. Big hand coming at her. So Cuomo's denying touching anyone inappropriately, saying he's sorry if he made anyone uncomfortable. He's not resigning. But there's the investigation. The attorney general is looking into the allegations. The state assembly, they're doing their own investigation in New York into whether there's grounds to actually impeach the governor. And it's so wild because you have a tale of two different coasts. So you have this governor who's fighting to stay in office amid all of the tales that are coming out, these allegations of what happened with different women. And then Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is in the middle of a massive fight for your political office fight in a recall effort because people were so furious with what he's done, mostly during the pandemic. I mean, there are some other things, but the pandemic is the hook. Is let's get the hook. And not just for Republicans, because there are some Democrats who are furious with Gavin Newsom, too, as well. Does he hang on? Who knows? And all kinds of people are starting to come out of the woodwork saying, you know, I might want to be governor, like Caitlyn Jenner, talking about the possibility of being governor. This is a sad story because dementia, Alzheimer's, is so tough on families, right? And you could be 80 or you could be, you know, 20 years old and you
probably have seen Jack Hanna somewhere. He's the celebrity zookeeper, and he really held that crown for a long time. His family let out a news release saying that they believe he has Alzheimer's and that it's really progressing in the last couple of months. He's 74. He was the director of the Columbus Zoo, rather, from 1978 to 1992, and he still is the director emeritus. People just loved him. I mean, how many times did he go on talk shows like David Letterman, James Corden, you know, more modern times, he's been on his show, and he increased the profile and the profits, you know, donations, I guess I'll call it, to the Columbus Zoo, and just massive attendance increases over the years. So, you know, he was this guy that was so comfortable around animals. He made you feel comfortable and curious. I really believe that about animals. Some of the crazy things he did, always with, you know, tigers, little baby tigers. It kind of made me, because I like tigers. I said the other day, giraffes and tigers are my favorite. It made me want a tiger when I would see him with they almost were, well, of course they were cats. And he would bring them out and they were so small and so cute. So very sad, Jack Hanna, the good fight, and I hope that he has better days ahead, more than some of those sad days of dementia. But I think it's great that the family let the world know what was happening with him. Tiger Woods was speeding before the crash. This was like 6 weeks ago. Now they're saying, after their investigation, that he was driving 84 to 87 miles an hour on a downhill stretch of road outside L.A. that had a speed limit of 45. You know, there's a lot of wrecks and drivers that hit speed so high there's an emergency exit, actually, for runaway cars or trucks just beyond where he crashed. And this happened back on February 23rd. Here the Masters is coming up. He had won it in 2019. He was really hoping to play it. And he knows L.A. well. He's originally from the Los Angeles area. But he's now recovering from, I can't even believe he walked away from that accident. He's now recovering from multiple surgeries, and he was driving an SUV that was loaned to him by the tournament when he hit a median, and then he crossed through two oncoming lanes and uprooted a tree. I mean, it was that crash site, if you haven't seen it, it's like a miracle that he walked away. And he's never gone an entire year without playing from the time he was 16 years old, and he was hoping the Masters would be something special, but no, it was not to be. So no charges or anything against him, but he was definitely had some speed involved in that accident. In the weeks after the crash, the sheriff called it purely an accident, that there was no evidence of impairment or any of that, that it looked like he was probably trying to stop and he accidentally accelerated, which would account for the speed that he was traveling at. And like I said, you see an accident like that, if somebody sent you that photo, you know, somebody took a cell phone photo and sent it to you, texted it to you, you'd think, oh, there's no way. There's no way anyone survives that. But he did. China. Let's talk about China for a minute. China placed, this is a big story, and I didn't realize this. I knew that there were Americans who went through Shanghai and they were on a watch list, but 700 Americans who went through the main airport in Shanghai, and it was government employees, business execs, even some celebrities. The New York Post blew the gasket or the lid off this story, and the Australian-based cybersecurity company Internet 2.0 got access to a database that included a spreadsheet of 697 names, of course they did, of American citizens, including some children who went through the airport between 2018 and 2020. The list was leaked to the Post, wink, wink. It included finance, technology, biomedical execs. It had a Grammy award-winning singer on it, Ashante Sequoia Douglas, who went through the airport in 2018, and so on and so forth. It was like kind of a who's who of people on that list. But it wasn't just Americans, by the way. You Aussies were on it, too. 161, 100 Brits were on it, and a blacklist database that lists thousands of Muslims who have been interrogated or questioned, with many of them being deemed terrorists. It would be interesting to look at that list and how they develop it. And the
how a foreigner could get caught up in China's surveillance state when they pass through the country, even if it's not really, as one expert said, fully established yet. But some surprising names, I think, were on that list. The gun debate is about to open up wide again. The president is going to talk about background checks on Thursday. The Arizona governor, Ducey, signed a bill to block new federal gun laws. That was big. And it's HB 2111 legislation. I love to always give the official name. What number is that again? It was signed into law this week by Ducey, ensuring rights of gun owners that they're protected from potential overreaching gun laws that are sought by the president, is what that legislation reads. The law seeks to prohibit cops and sheriffs from enforcing these new federal gun laws, which lots of people say, or critics say, will undermine the rule of law and discourage law enforcement officers from enforcing federal gun laws to protect the public. And then you go back to the constitutionality of it, and then you go back to the cost to taxpayers, and, you know, the tug of war over guns, that is a polarizing issue in this country. No question about it. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is going to take up the two House Democrat passed bills expanding the background checks. And then the president is expected to start rolling out executive actions regulating guns amid a lot of pressure from longtime advocates, including stopping the proliferation of so-called ghost guns. So that's also on that list. And what is the ghost gun? People can buy kits that have the components and directions to put together a gun in like 30 minutes. And it's called a ghost gun because it can't be traced by law enforcement, and they don't have serial numbers. So that's why. So we'll see what happens with Thursday and the Justice Department. And, you know, I think it's going to be something like 60 days to issue some kind of a rule making it clear that when a stabilizing brace is used to effectively turn a pistol into a short barrel rifle, it is subject to the requirements of the National Firearms Act. Sure, we'll be talking about it. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The UK variant of the coronavirus is now the dominant strain in the United States, according to the CDC. Dr. Rochelle Walensky said Wednesday that the B117 variant is now the most common being seen in new cases of COVID, with more than 16,000 confirmed cases. The more transmissible variant is also being blamed in part for an increase of cases over the last several weeks. But nearly half the new cases are coming from certain hotspots. Florida, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania are accounting for about 40% of new cases over the last 7 days, according to data from Johns Hopkins University. And Washington Governor Jay Inslee has signed a bill into law that will restore voting rights to felons once they're released from prison. The law will restore voting rights to about 20,000 people in the state when it goes into effect next year. Those who are still on parole are also eligible to begin voting again. You're listening to USA Radio News. The White House said this week that it would not require or develop a COVID vaccination passport that could be used to limit travel or access to certain businesses. Several states have already taken action against a proposed passport, with Florida and Texas already banning their state's governments from requiring one to receive services. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy tells MSNBC that while private entities are developing vaccine passports, the federal government's involvement is limited to making sure that people's privacy is protected.
The government will not be requiring or issuing vaccine credentials. And that's important to know. Now, the private sector has certainly launched a number of initiatives to try to develop some sort of credential system whereby people can attest to and confirm that they were vaccinated. And what the government and the administration really believes is that if the private sector is going to do that, that there need to be strict standards to ensure that people are protected, that their privacy is protected.
This is USA Radio News.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Absolutely fascinating, and this book is a tremendous resource, is tremendously interesting, and I would put it for 2021 so far for me on my top five list. Seriously, that's how I feel about this. The Global Pharmaceutical Industry, Economic Structure, Government Regulation, and History. Dr. Hank Lasky is the author. He joins us now. Hank, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, Kate, I'm happy to be here. I'm flattered by the words you just said about my book, but in my soul, I know it's true, so.
Yeah, and what happened is I went back and I made sure I poured over a few things after we had our off-air conversation, and
okay.
I want to take people down the path of how did you get here, because you worked in the industry in a different way, but for a long time. So tell everyone a little bit about your background.
Well, I was the MBA director for pharmaceutical and chemical studies at Fairleigh Dickinson University in Teaneck, New Jersey, for the last several years of my career in academia. And one thing I noticed, I got a lot of MDs, that is medical doctors, in my classes who wanted to get an MBA to enter or excel within the pharmaceutical industry. Many of them just wanted to get out of private practice. And there was no book available to teach these men and women who were so idealistic about medicine and the human body and disease, to teach them about profit and economics. The first time I'd ever mentioned profit, they looked at me and treated me thereafter like the devil reincarnate. And that lasted about 3 or 4 weeks, I mean, of sort of an antagonism between me and these physicians who were my students. So that was strong motivation for me to write the book and try to talk to those people with that mindset, as well as other people who would do the scientific research in the pharmaceutical industry and still others who would do the marketing of the drugs worldwide.
Yeah, and it's interesting in talking about those doctors, something that you said stuck out of my mind where you say, nerds live in labs around the world.
Well, there was a long period of my life when I was a nerd. I used that term very lovingly. These are wonderful people who are at the very base of pharmaceutical everything. The entire industry is built upon these nerds who do this exacting work in enormous detail and precision. You know, I love them. The nerds are good people. They're part of the industry.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. I address a lot of science in the book. I have molecular structures of drugs and their chemical precursor molecules. I discuss how to extract coal tar, how to extract methanol from wood, as well as from petroleum, the hydrocarbons of life, so to speak, that we use to synthesize medicines, as well as natural products and nutraceuticals, et cetera. So I try to cover a pretty wide swath, and indeed, I think I cover the entire industry worldwide. I think I did that.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, you get down where you're telling us about very specific things that are so interesting, the science, medicine, the technology, the regulation. What's the regulatory framework like?
Well, that's very fascinating to me at the moment. I do discuss throughout the book the social and political upheavals that took place in France in particular, but across Europe 2 centuries ago, where socialism really flowered. And I see, you know, the cynicism today of so many Republicans thinking the same is happening in our government. So talking about regulation of the pharmaceutical industry, so crucial to human health. You know, governments have always been very interested in this subject matter and regulation in order to keep prices low and provide a good quality of care for their citizens. And you've had both conservative and liberal governments make promises along those lines to win public favor. So when these laws have been passed, particularly in the United States, but elsewhere, they've copied our Food and Drug Administration largely. When these laws are passed, they usually are very specific. And they get down to the nitty gritty where you need a bunch of nerds to comprehend what they're talking about. You know, but once you understand it, it's pretty straightforward. You just build a manufacturing plant and crank the stuff out all day and all night. Yeah. And that's how the industry runs.
Yeah. And when you look at the industry now, it's like a love-hate kind of deal with, I'll just say, the public, or you mentioned it, politicians, depending on interests, et cetera. And it is funny, right? It is funny.
Yeah, it is.
And so you look at that and you see the good side, which you've seen that has helped people get well, that's developed drugs quickly. I mean, look at what's happening in the world today. What is the biggest misconception?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's the biggest misconception, do you think, that people have about the pharmaceutical industry?
The enormous amount of money that it takes to develop drugs. Pfizer developed its drug for coronavirus in record time. Certainly, you know, the CEO of Pfizer was talking to Donald Trump on a regular basis. They were forced politically to crank it out. And they did. They did. And it cost a bundle of money, you know, and that's the thing. It requires so much investment. And this is dollars and cents that people work for every day, earn a salary, pay their mortgages, et cetera. They're seeing hundreds of billions of dollars going into the pharmaceutical industry for research and development and marketing, and they just don't get it. They don't understand that it costs that much to do what the industry does. And even the nerds, think about the nerds for a minute. Here you have very highly trained men and women out of school, and they're looking for a nice environment with which to live, possibly get married, raise their children, good schools, good social, the theater district and cafes and restaurants, and to develop that kind of a society that will keep these people happy for 25 or 35 years. of their lives is a tall task, and it's an expensive task. You have to pay these people a lot of money. And so your listeners of the show tonight, they can enter the industry. If they read my book, they'll know it all. And they can make a lot of money and raise families and enjoy the American way of life and help mankind as we journey into the unknown.
Boy, isn't that the truth, the unknown. We're speaking with Hank Lasky, and the book is The Global Pharmaceutical Industry, Economic Structure, Government Regulation, and History. And one of the things you told me is, and I think this is absolutely true by what we've said here, only the best of the best will move up in pharmaceuticals. That's true, right?
Certainly in the leadership capabilities, yeah. Yeah. But you have, pharmaceutical companies have learned the techniques of human resource management and how to group people working inside the industry or a particular company by different skill sets. So you're working with people that pretty much like what you like and know what you know, and you know you can roll up your sleeves together and get a job done. And you can feel the enormous satisfaction of doing that, you know, working with your peers, people who are just as smart as you are and think like you think, you know, and the companies know how to manage that. They're so good at it. They use the best consultants in the world come in and do seminars and things for them to promote this kind of human resource management. And when you retire from the industry, think about that. They actually have programs to teach you about entrepreneurship that the company pays for when you retire so that you can continue in the industry in a consulting capacity. I mean, the industry takes care of its own. And it's not so much the best of the best will succeed. It's just the dedicated people who really love this stuff, you know. Human life and anatomy and physiology and zoology and cellular biology and chemistry and biochemistry and physics. I mean, if you like that stuff, then you're going to need to read my sections on economics. If you are an economist, you're going to need to read my sections on chemistry, etc. And in the middle, if you can perceive what I'm talking about, you'll learn a lot. I guarantee you that. I've taught this stuff for many years. I saw the reactions in the students. I fielded their questions. I mean, this was in person as well as televised classroom instructor. And they're smart. They're good. And they, if I made a mistake, they would nail me, man, to the wall or the blackboard. You know? So I had to get it right.
You got it right. You didn't make a mistake. So the book is fantastic. The Global Pharmaceutical Industry, Economic Structure, Government Regulation, and History. Hank Lasky, you're tremendous. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate. I so enjoy talking to you because you're smart yourself. You've done this yourself. You've written books yourself. You've been awarded high awards in journalism. And I think your audience will benefit from my book. And it doesn't cost much. You can get it for $35 on Amazon.
That's right, even less on some days, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in it to make money. I'm in it for a totally different reason that only a few people will understand. I want to help mankind make it into the future.
I love it. Hank, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Kate.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Joins us now. She's in our virtual green room, and she's got a book called Delana. It's actually a trilogy, so it's book three of the trilogy that she's written. And these are the kind of books that just pull you right in. And especially this main character is so fascinating. Claire, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about Delana. Let's talk about Lainey. That's the nickname. What do you want people to know about her?
So Delana is just every woman in one way or another throughout the trilogy. She's 20 years old when it starts, and she has inherited a large farm, so she has the challenges of that. She's trying to get her education. She falls for the rival neighbor farmer who's older than her across the street. So she has a lot of different things going on at one time at that coming of age, you know, 20 years old. And then as the trilogy goes on, she evolves, and through making her decisions and through her losses and grief and a lot of suspense and some people doing her wrong. So she has choices to make and has to grow up. And I've just had a lot of people tell me, wow, I can really relate to Delana's progress and changing as she becomes a woman.
And you and I talked about this off the air. She really is a revolutionary girl turned woman, right? Because of the fact of what she does as a female farmer.
Yes. So I live in South Georgia where farming is everywhere. It surrounds me. Had not given much thought to the fact that there still are not a lot, hardly any female farmers. When I wrote about Lainey as a girl farmer because she inherits this land from her father and there's no one else, it didn't occur to me that it was revolutionary. It seemed different, but not necessarily revolutionary. But that's what's come from the readership. They love reading about her on the farm, and she truly is the manager and the owner of over 10,000 acres of land in Mississippi.
Wow. So in writing this, you know, they say you know what you write, and you've got such an imagination, and I think this is why you have really, really pulled the readers into your character and into your books. Was it fun for you to read about things that you've seen and know and put them in this tale about Lainey?
So I wrote Lainey Cash when I was 26 in the year 2000, and I am a compulsive and frenzied writer. Whatever I wake up and write, it's been that way since I was 4 years old. Nothing's plotted out or planned. So I just woke up one morning at 6 a.m. and started Lainey Cash, and 8 days later, the first book was finished, like 20-hour days. That's how I do it. But, yes, I wrote what I knew. I wanted to finish a novel at that point. I had started plenty but not finished. So what do I know? I know Southern girls and farming and small towns and all of the tragedy and corruption and joy and outdoors, all of it is in there. And so I just wrote what I knew that first go around. Now, I've written and finished a lot of novels since then, and I've been a lot of places around the world. But I look back at Lainey and say, yeah, this is so authentic.
I love it. So what do people not know about farming? What do you think the misconception is about farming that people don't realize?
Well, in book two of the trilogy, Jed, who, by the way, the female readers are absolutely in love with, and Lainey is too, at times she is, at times she can kill him. But anyway, they get into a conversation about the myths of farming, and I did that on purpose because my husband won National Farmer in 2015, and so we've been around the country with farmers from all kinds of regions and different crops. And there are a lot of myths, and it doesn't matter what you plant or where you live, the myths are the same, either that farmers are really poor or farmers are really rich. That one gets around a lot, you know, and that either farming's really easy and you don't have to be smart, you know, that one is also really big. And I'm in constant admiration of farmers nowadays, and whether they're female or male, they are scientists, teachers, experimentalists, business people. They have about 15 different roles they have to play, you know, and farms are corporations nowadays. Lainey and Jed's farms are totally corporate size. You have to have several thousand acres, you know, to make it nowadays, really, honestly, just the fact of how much the equipment costs. And so then it turns into more of a corporate deal where you have a lot of people working for you and a lot of different ways that you generate income. So Lainey and Jed both are masters of spinning all those plates at one time like any good farmer.
Yeah, wow. So, you know, again, this is a trilogy, and that's it. That's what's so great, that it really pulls people in, and you finish one book, and then you're on the edge of your seat, and you're ready to read the next one. And I'm wondering, are you going to do more on this?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe now's the time to reveal. There is a sequel to book three, and that will be coming out next year. I have not released that information anywhere, and I've been waiting for the right time, and you're the first person who's asked. So, yes, there will be more about the Cashes and the McCrays. That's the two families coming out because the response has been tremendous from people everywhere, and I'm overwhelmed and honored and glad to write more about them.
Wow, the Cashes and the McCrays goes on again. How exciting. Congratulations on that. And people will be thrilled to hear that for sure. And I can only imagine what that adventure's going to be like. And so we've been talking with Claire Cinnamon about the trilogy, about the new one, you know, talking about Lainey and, you know, what's happening here in this one. And you don't want to give it all away, but give us just a little taste of what book three is about.
Yeah, so book one, you're just introduced to her, and she inherits that farm, and she seeks Jed McCray across the street because she is overwhelmed until she gets a handle on it. Book two is more about their love story and her coming into her own, and then also there's a lot of corruption. You know, people fight over land a lot. That's common. So you see a lot of corruption there in book two while they're trying to pursue their love affair with each other. So book three, she's 22, I think, and she is wanting to finish her education, and she just goes off on a whim and decides she needs to go away for a while. So you see more about her new beginnings in a new place, finishing her education, and honestly deciding whether there's a place for Jed in her life or not. And it's not a fairy tale. It has very romantic and lovely moments between them. But she's a modern woman, and she actually weighs, you know, whether what comes next, her career or him or both, like a lot of people have to do nowadays.
Boy, that's true. Claire Cinnamon, it's such a delight to speak with you. And I'm thinking about how you come up with these stories and how this character has just evolved. Is it fun for you? Has this been a fun ride?
Yes, it is. Totally fun for me. And to see these books published 19 years after I wrote Lainey Cash, which was on purpose. I wasn't really seeking publishing in the beginning. I wrote all the time until my husband said one day, when you write 8 to 20 hours a day, I don't think that's a hobby. so from there, you know, I said, yeah, it's time. My kids are grown. Let's see what we can do with this. It's been nothing but fun. I can't say that when these characters come to me and I get in a frenzy, I won't pretend that every moment of that is fun. But in the end, when I close a finished book and that I'm on my fifth one that's been published now and have lots more to go, it's the most rewarding thing ever. Yes.
Wow. Good for you. So what the reaction, we know the reaction the readers have had, and obviously your husband, what a gift, as he tells you this is more than a hobby. What about other people in your world? What, you know, what do they say about your writing and these novels?
I'd say something that's exciting to me. The female readership is growing massively, and I hear great things and about the other books too that are out that are separate of the trilogy. But something that is exciting for me, it never occurred that men would love the books, and I don't know why that didn't occur to me, because there's as much suspense as there is romance. But to hear from men a lot in private messages especially, that they have, you know, they've finished book two of the trilogy, when can they get more, and that they can't put it down. That's been exciting for me.
Yes, and you're right. People don't, I think people don't realize that there are men that like romance, too, but also the thrilling
right.
part. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of times they send private messages, and in a private message, they don't mind admitting that the romance is pretty dang good, too. So, you know. But my husband, he's addicted to all the books, and he's like, yes, I like the romance, but the suspense part, there's some deep. I majored in psychology, Kate, and so I really like to dip into human emotion, and so there are some devious characters popping up here and there in every book.
Well, it's very fun, and it's fun to talk to you. Claire Cinnamon, congratulations. And again, this book that we're talking about is Delaina. You can get all of the books, of course, if you go to Amazon. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. I enjoyed it.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.